Today's guest is a woman of God who has an incredible time helping women entrepreneurs scale their businesses over the $100,000 mark, and she has a vision to help 100 women scale to over a million. Now, if you're not an entrepreneur, don't tune out, because the principles she teaches from the Word about not playing small with your gifts and being faithful to steward what God has given you translate to all of our lives, whether you're an entrepreneur, a stay-at-home mom, a teacher, whatever you do. These principles apply, and it's going to help challenge you to live bigger, to do more with your gifts, and really take seriously the things the Lord has put in your hands. It might even feel like personal permission to step out on some things that have been in your heart. So you don't want to miss this episode. Make sure you go and share it with a friend right now. Hit pause, go share it with a friend who's going to need to listen to it, and let's dive in. Hi, you're listening to Java with Jen with your host, Jenna Lee Samuel. On this show, I bring the simplicity of hearing God's voice into everyday life in a no-nonsense, authentic, and super practical way. With coffee in hand and real life in our faces, let's do this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for coming for another episode here at Java with Jen. I have a beautiful new guest on the show. Her name is Judy Weber, and it's kind of fun. I actually had scoped her out online months before her team reached out to me, and so she was already on my bucket list of people to have on the show, so it just worked out very easily and naturally. So that tells us the Lord wants her in your ears, and I'm very excited about putting her in your ears. And so, Judy, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today.
Jenna Lee, I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Oh, I'm excited to hear that. Well, just so that you guys who are listening know a little bit about Judy, she's new to you maybe. And so she is a business coach, a mentor, and scaling strategist. So she has definitely got her big girl britches on for the life she leads. And she's on a mission to normalize miraculous results for Christian women in business, which I love. Her extensive corporate experience, winning trials in the courtroom as an attorney and leading senior level management in the boardroom as a C-suite exec, is unparalleled in the business coaching and advisory marketplace. So she knows what she's talking about. She's dealt with some heavy hitters. Her proprietary business growth and scaling methodologies have helped hundreds of service-based business owners build really lucrative businesses with simplicity and joy. And that's what she puts a lot of focus on, is doing it with joy. She's committed to helping 1,000 women make their first 100K and 100 women scale towards seven figures by 2025. Her past clients' results include quadrupling their annual revenues and repeated six-figure launches. Now, for some of you guys who are listening, you're like, I don't get this. This is a big deal. When you're in business, this is a really big deal, crossing that 100K mark. So all we're saying here is she knows what she's doing in business, and she does it well. She's also the founder and the host of a globally ranked podcast, Joyful Business, and it is dedicated to all the things on life and business for Christian women. She's a sought-after keynote speaker, inspiring women here in the U.S. and around the globe to boldly live their faith in their business according to what she sees in scripture. So Judy, thank you for being here. Like I said already, I'm excited to have you. Reading your bio, I'm like, she's my people.
Thank you. I know. It's like, I almost like, it's so funny, as women, I'm so proud of what I've accomplished because I come from very humble beginnings. But on the other note, I'm like, okay, ladies, don't think I'm beyond you. I am no better than any of you.
So right. I know. Whenever people read my bio, I'm always like, wow, that makes me sound really cool. Yeah. Oh, goodness. So I just love that your team reached out to me, and I love that you're here to be on my show. And as I was talking to you about, the premise of my podcast is hearing God's voice for everyday life. So my listeners, they are moms, they are women. And I feel like part of being a woman is there is an entrepreneurial streak, I think, in most of us. I'm not going to say all of us, but in most of us, and that takes different shapes. It may just stay in the home, but it's still creative, essentially. As women, I think God's nature shows up in us, especially in that way. And for a lot of my listeners, or some of my listeners, they are entrepreneurial. They have side hustles. They're creative, and they have dreams and desires to impact lives. And so I wanted to have you on here to talk about something that you talk about a lot, which is that you believe it's a sin to play small, and that the parable of the talents dives deep into that. So now before we get into the meat of that, I want to throw out there in the beginning so everyone keeps listening. Before we get into that, why don't you share with us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your family, where you're at in life as far as your season of life, and we'll go from there.
Okay, awesome. I am 58, so I've got a lot of years behind me. But the short story is I was born the daughter of a factory worker and a stay-at-home mom.
Awesome.
So we were living paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. But as long as, oh, and I would say there's two things we had in the home, a lot of love and Jesus.
Oh.
And that's what we needed. Like, I never felt poor until I went to college and I looked around. I'm like, ooh, wait, she came with a car? Like my gift for graduating high school mm-hmm. was the opportunity to go to college. So like, but so that's kind of who I am. But as a little girl, I remember like saying to my mom, "Mommy, I feel like God told me I'm going to do something important." She's like, "Okay, good, Judy." And then a few days or months later, I remember saying, "Mommy, I might be a millionaire one day." And I remember she's almost like pat me on the head. "Okay, honey, you know, it's like, it's going to happen." But anyway, so I always knew I was going to go to college, even though nobody else in my family did.
Yeah.
And whenever mom would say, "I don't know how we're going to be able to afford it," I don't know, generally. It was like, that never stopped me. Like, I don't even remember giving one moment's worry about how it was going to be paid for. I just didn't. I knew I was going.
Uh-huh.
But where I did hesitate was, there are two things I wanted to be as a little girl, a teacher and a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I love those movies, watching women in their beautiful suits and their high heels, like in that Manhattan all glass window office. And I'm like, ooh, I'd like to do that one day. But I waited 5 years between graduating college and actually going to law school, because there was like that part of me that's like, people like me, poor folk, we can't go to law school. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Like, you just can't go, you know? So anyway, so I went to law school at Villanova, graduated the top of the class, praise the Lord, got a great job. Soon realized, wait a minute, I'm looking around. I'm like, I got this post, this position was great, but it just didn't feel like ultimately what I was supposed to do.
Mm.
So fast forward many years, I was blessed with three sons who are now 22, 24, 27, the loves of my life. Went through a divorce and lots of other things. But I will say this, my entrepreneurial journey has been a long and winding one, but everything, when you look back, you can see that the Lord was moving. He put me here, and then he put me over here, and then he put me over here. But all the things I've done, especially going to law school, like, last thing I'll say is this, I teach my clients how to strategically win in business at every turn. And I learned the skill of thinking, which I was like, at first, I'm like, ooh, I don't like thinking. Now I love to think. And I teach my clients how to think strategically. And I wouldn't have gotten that but for going to law school.
Right. Okay. So things, you're so right. Like, there are so many things in life that when you're just looking at it as you're going through it, it's like, why this? Like, the Lord put me in a season of fashion for like 5 or 6 years. I've styled 9,000 people. I still don't really know the long-term goal, like the long game for that. I'm like, I'm sure it'll come back around one day. I have no idea. But I love this. And I love that you were able, because I feel like I'm seeing a movement shifting to your coaching and all of that. I feel like I'm seeing a movement of believers in the coaching space where they're leaning on the principles and core values of their faith to teach clients and to teach clients to expand. And there's a proverb that says that humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth, prosperity, and honor. And I feel like there's that concept is showing up even in the coaching space and in the business space. And I feel like there are a lot of believers and female believers that the Lord is strategically positioning for wealth on purpose in this time. Are you seeing that? Are you sensing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that when I first launched this coaching business, it was in 2017, and then I pivoted. So I've been doing what I'm doing now since 2019. And at the time, there were a bunch of us women, Christian business coaches, and many are out of this profession. And what I saw, though, is that a lot of doubt and fear, and that ended up like winning out. And so one of the things you mentioned, I'm all about joy and simplicity, and everything I do, though, is founded on faith. And I say faith-based is full of hope, but faith-fueled is the miraculous realized. So everything that I teach my clients, everything I think, everything I say, everything I do is fueled by your faith, so that we know if God called us to something, then we're going to win. Like, your success is inevitable.
Yeah.
And that's where, when we start doubting or, you know, just going off into fear, we've got to come back to that truth, capital T truth. If God called me to this, then I'm going to make it.
I love that you just said that, because in my business journey as well, which people that are listening, maybe you haven't started a business, but wherever you are, whether you're raising your kids or you're in a career or you're a business person, you have those challenges ahead of you that can sometimes make you want to quit whatever it is that you're doing. And I feel like in business, I've experienced the same thing. Every month I want to quit my business. But because I have this deeply rooted conviction in my heart that when you walk in the fear of the Lord and you walk in obedience to the Lord, success is sure. Commit your plans to the Lord and they will succeed, right? And so there's this deep guiding principle that says winning is essential. Winning is part of the inheritance. We will get there. Just God be with me as I get there, as I figure out how to get there. And so I think that's where your belief of that it's a sin to play small probably comes in. And so why don't you elaborate on that? I know that you have a few lessons that you pull from the parable of the talents and that illustration there. What are some of those lessons, and how does that speak to women not playing small wherever they may find themselves?
Yeah, that's so good. And I just want to, before I do that, I just want to reiterate something. I believe that whether you're in business, or I know many of you haven't done a business, but I know that you've been thinking about it, and you may be thinking, little old me, I can't do it. Or maybe you're so multi-passionate that you may not know which way to go. Mm-hmm. I just encourage you to throw up what I say, the Jeremiah 33:3 prayer. And it there says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Mm-hmm. Like, I throw up the Jeremiah 33:3 prayer at least once a day. And I encourage all of you to do the same.
Wait, let me interrupt you there. Let me ask you a question, because my business journey, I love that passage. It's one of my favorites. And I am a firm believer God speaks to us and guides our steps. But I feel like on my entrepreneurial journey, I have thrown that prayer up so much and rarely get clear direction. It has felt more like walking with one hand over my eyes, flailing and feeling in the dark, trying to find what's going to fit and what's going to stick. And I feel like the Lord's doing that on purpose. There's an important kind of learning that comes from that. But what do you say to the women when they throw up that Jeremiah 33 and they're like, I'm hearing nothing?
That's so good. The first thing that comes to my mind is something that I always, it is a convicting thought for myself as well. So believe me, I'm not judging at all. I'm not saying this is easy. But as Christians, especially those of us who were blessed to have been raised in the faith, we know the verses. Nothing's impossible with God. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. Everything is, you know, Romans 8:28. It's all working out for my good because I'm called to him. I love him. But do we really believe it so much so that we act on it? Like, I think even for myself, when I realized that, am I living as if God's promise, I think it's in Hebrews 11 or Hebrews 13, where he will call you, or rather he will equip you where he's called you. Uh-huh. And to me, that's your success is inevitable. So like, am I living like my success is done? I just have to walk the path and like Abraham just know the next step instead of seeing the future.
Yeah.
So in a short answer, I will say we need to be so open to the Lord and trust him and be so intimate with him to say, you know what, Lord, I'm not hearing you today, but I know you're speaking to me. So Lord, take away the block, because I know it's on my end, not yours.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. But I do feel like, and I've told a number of people this too, and tell me if this resonates for you. Sometimes when it feels like the Lord's not giving a clear, hey, take this step next, it's because sometimes you just get to make a choice. Like, you just get to have an option. Like my kid, if my kid wants a car, I don't care which car he picks. I'm like, well, tell me what car you want so I know what to look for, you know? And he's like, well, I don't care as long as it runs. And I'm like, okay, we got lots of options, you know? But if he's like, I want a Honda Civic, then I know, okay, then I take action when I see a Honda Civic. You know what I mean? And so sometimes I feel like when it comes to the Lord guiding our steps, there are times when it's a pivot point and he's like, take this step. This is important, you know, or sign up for this course, coach with this coach, you know, take that risk, whatever. And then sometimes when there's not a lot of clarity, but it seems like there's options, you just get to take a choice. Have you seen that in your business?
Yes. all the time, and here's where, especially because I work with women in business, where I apply the 1-1-1 principle when it comes to business. Okay. The gurus say they're create a value ladder of 10,000, you know, offers from $7 on up to 70,000. I'm like, choose one. Let's decide on one best client, one offer that gives you one transformation. And so the option there, like there's so much possibility. They're like, well, how do I choose which one? How do I know which one is right? It's like I espouse the idea that they all could be right because you're the one that makes it right. Like your job is not to go out there and find this right offer out there. You have it inside of you. So keep seeking the Lord, but he gives us free will. So you decide. And that can be so hard because it's like, okay, Lord, if you would just tell me exactly what it is, I would do it. But maybe he's like, I blessed you with this. Now you have the choice of which avenue to go. I'm with you every step of the way, but take that first step of decision-making. That's huge. Yeah,
it is so, and it takes a lot of risk and it pulls us past fear. And I think sometimes when we can go, okay, I'm waiting until the Lord speaks to me, that's actually fear masquerading as faith. And
it's an excuse.
Yeah, it is. Okay. So sorry, I interrupted you. Get back to what you were saying. The lessons of it's a sin to play small and the parable of the talent.
Yeah. Okay. So lesson number one, just, I really want you ladies to understand that I believe it is a sin to play small. It's a sin of omission. Okay. Mm-hmm. To hold back and to use humility as an excuse for example, boldly marketing your offer or, you know, in the way of parenting, you know, oh, well, I can't not let my child go to this party because everybody else is doing it. Right. So it's like you reduce it to the lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. Like as a Christian, I know they shouldn't go to this party where their parents aren't. And I don't really feel good about it, but I trust my kid and they seem like pretty good people. But wait a minute, you got to stand firm. You've got to make strong, bold decisions. So here's what I want to talk about. Let's go to the parable of the talents. What did the master say to the servant who was given one talent? And we could say, oh my gosh, he was only given one. Well, praise the Lord, he was given one. But what did he do with it? He buried it. And why? Because he was afraid. And so when the master returned, he said, get away from me, you wicked, lazy servant. So that is something. If I bury a gift or a blessing out of fear, especially, we do anything out of fear, it's never going to end anywhere good. But the master said, you're wicked and you're lazy. And he ordered that that servant be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is so convicting.
Yeah.
Lord God, please help me to never do something out of fear so that I keep my blessing to myself. That is very selfish. It's got to be a sin.
Yeah, no, I love that you just said that. In fact, the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago. You know, marketing is always kind of a fun journey. And the Lord spoke to me, said, generally marketing is a part of being a faithful steward because you're not being faithful with your message if you're not doing the work to get it in front of the people who need it. Like, people need what you have, but if they don't know it was ever there, it's essentially the same thing as burying it. And I was like, oh,
so good. You know, it's so funny. I have to say, generally, just yesterday, I've been researching marketing, you know, from a Christian perspective and biblical perspective. Uh-huh. And I read somewhere online that it was like, Jesus was a master marketer in the way he communicated, in the way that he didn't water things down. I mean, he stood for something and he just repeated the message. Why? Because he was 100% on mission for the purpose that the Father created him, or he wasn't created. Like he is a Godhead. He's a part of the Godhead, but still, you know what I mean? Jesus was on mission unapologetically. He didn't water it down and he didn't need anybody else's permission. Right. He just stood for himself. That is so good.
Yes. So good. Okay. So hit us with lesson number two. What's the second one?
Okay. So here's the thing. With what I just said, you might say, okay, so what am I to do with my talents or my blessings that the Lord God gave me? And my answer there is we are to boldly act and speak, right? Mm-hmm. We need to live our purpose and do it with intention. And again, without needing anybody's approval or permission. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we're on mission by the Lord God Almighty. It's like why you were made. Sometimes we lament things that happen in our past, be it personal, career-wise, or anything else, right? And as now I'm approaching 60, I look back at my life in a much more pensive way. And I say, you know what? Even the bad things happen. God allowed them so that you would be able to better serve those that he's already set apart.
Yeah.
What you serve.
Yeah.
So we really need to be bold.
Like, yeah.
Like we can't hold back, because then we're falling short of our purpose before the Lord.
It's so good. So the first one is, fear. Don't let fear cause you to hide your talent and use it as an excuse. Second one is to step out in boldness, steward what you have with boldness. What's the third one then?
Okay. Expect the miraculous. Scripture, the master was known, and I didn't get this at first, the master was known to harvest where he had not sown and to gather where he had not scattered seed. What in the world does that mean?
Mm.
Miraculous happens by his hand. And so that should excite us and lead us as God's children to be very expectant, like not only waiting to see a miracle by his hand, but expecting the miraculous every week, every day, like at all times.
Yeah.
Right. So we've got to just like, we shouldn't be surprised when the miraculous happens. And I have a cool miracle story. If you
allow me to share. Yeah.
Okay. So this is kind of a funny one, but, so I was visiting my twin sister this past weekend, and she's a realtor, and my other sister was looking for a house. And so we went to this house, and my sister is a realtor, but the lockbox wasn't opening no matter what. Like, she tried it, I tried it, everybody was trying it. And we also tried the door. My sister especially tried the door, but it was locked. Okay. Then we walked around the house, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, ladies, let's gather around this combo lockbox. And I said a prayer, Lord God, we really want to get in this house. And I know that's a silly request, but Lord, if it be your will, would you please open this lockbox so we can see the house? So at that, we all open our eyes. My sisters look at the door and, oh no, I'm sorry. Hold on. I got to hit myself. I tried the lockbox. The lockbox still didn't open. So at that, my sister started walking down the steps, going to the car. I looked back at the doorknob, and you wouldn't believe it. It was ajar.
Wow.
It was open just a little slush so I could see the light coming from the inside. I said, girls, come back. Look at this. I said, am I crazy? I said, Jan, was it like this before? She goes, no, it was locked. I was trying it. My other sister said, yeah, I saw her. And I just poked my finger and I said, the Lord God wanted us in.
Wow. That's cool. I love it. I love it. You know, and I feel like too, part of expecting miracles also, at least for me, it has translated to intentionally sowing seed for those miracles. So like I built into my business, I was trying to figure out how to build the tithe into my business. And so I built into my business every round when I'm training podcasters, I scholarship someone in at whatever they can pay. And then whatever they pay, I sow that as a seed into a missionary or a whatever. And then every single time that I have done that, I have seen the Lord connect me to people that help push my business forward or connect me to more students or whatever. And so that is part of, like, for me, going in expecting to see miracles, because A, it's boring doing business without the miracles. We've got the Lord God in our corner. Why would we not, right?
Amen.
And so I love that. Okay, so I hate that time has moved so quickly. We already have to wrap this. Like, what in the world? We just got started. So what would you leave my listeners with? Because obviously there's so much to unpack here. I wish we had another 30 minutes, but what would you leave my listeners with? Let's say they are a stay-at-home mom, or let's say they're not in business yet, or they're thinking about it, you know, percolating. The idea has been itching them on the inside. What would you say with them, wherever they're at, before we close this out?
Okay. This is the name of an upcoming book of mine. I would say, pursue the impossible. We need to live what we say we believe.
Yeah.
So that means, I mean, we're so blessed to have been chosen by the Lord, right? And so too often we live in the natural.
Yeah.
And we need to live and operate in the supernatural, to live out what we say we believe, right? And so just like that, we might think, well, that's a silly example, the way the Lord opened the door. Judy, do you really think that happened? Yes. I mean, but the neatest thing about that, and I just want to go back to that for a second, because this is a lesson for all of us. Mm-hmm. I was laying in bed that night and I said, Lord, why did you let that happen? Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, he's saying to me, if I would have opened the combo lockbox, that would have been pretty neat. But that was closed. I let you in the house without the key. So maybe, just maybe, you need to expect that the natural way of doing things, I can jump beyond that. Oh, wow. I operate much higher level than you. So let us all live and act and speak supernaturally as we talk to our children, as we talk to our friends, and as we operate our business, just expecting that the Lord is going to move in ways that's going to blow our mind. So let's not, by our own finite brains, kind of put him in a box.
Yeah, that's so good, man. That resonates. Something the Lord spoke to me last week. He said, or a few weeks ago, he just out of nowhere, I was just praying one morning, and he said, you know, Jenilee, he said, when my children pray small prayers, I feel so unseen and unknown. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, because think about it. Like I had a friend who posted online. I told you I was a wardrobe stylist. I had a friend posted online. She's like, I'm in search of a wardrobe stylist who can style my body shape. And I'm like, do you even know me? Like, how long have you known me? You know, but it's the same thing. Like, we pray things that we're like, oh God, if it's possible, can you please? And he's like, do you even know me? Like, pull me into your business. Pull me into the thing that you're doing. Pull me into raising your kids and walking with me. That's so beautiful. Man, I just love that. Okay, so how can people connect with you? Let's say they're like, the episode was too short. I want more of Judy. How can they connect with you?
Okay, thank you for that. First of all, I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, @JudyWeberCo. And I have a podcast that I'm about to interview Jenilee on. So I'm excited about that. It's called Joyful Business Podcast, All Things Life and Business for Christian Women. So you definitely want to get plugged into that. We have well over 400 episodes. And beyond that, you know, send me a DM wherever you are on social, because I am one of those people who doesn't just pay lip service to, hey, let's connect. I personally reach out to you. I have a team. But I personally reach out, because this whole thing is relationship building, right? And helping each other.
I love it. And you had also mentioned, which you guys, all those links will be in the show notes. So if you're listening while you're driving and you can't click it right now, go back to the show notes. But you mentioned you also had a free gift or a free offering to give to my listeners.
Yes. My team and I created a new case study for those entrepreneurs out there. And even if you don't yet have a business, okay, I invite you to check out my case study. You're going to discover 3 simple tweaks to 8x your revenue if you currently have a business. And I give you a client success story to attest to that.
Yeah.
And also you're going to learn kind of where to focus when it comes to marketing. And then finally, how are you going to gain traction in your business? Mm-hmm. And the impact that unwavering belief and a bold faith, how it actually accelerates your results. So it's bit.ly/secret to 10K months, but we'll have the links in the show notes. So
that sounds
grab
good.
Grab that.
I think I need that. I'm going to go get that as well. So you guys, all these links will be in the show notes. Now, sadly, we have to say goodbye to Judy for this episode, but maybe we'll have her again in the future. Judy, thank you so much for taking the time to come on here and share with my listeners.
Thank you, Jenilee. It was an absolute honor.
Absolutely. Well, you guys, thanks so much for listening. Make sure you are subscribed, Java with Jen. Come say hey to me on Instagram @JavaWithJen. I also have a new Instagram for my podcast network called Imagine Media Podcast Network. That's the handle. I know it's super long, but it is on Instagram. You can find it from either of my accounts. Make sure you come say hey. And like Judy said, I will respond back personally. I love to connect with you guys. So thanks so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week. Bye. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow me on Instagram @JavaWithJen, where you can follow the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have also asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through the Anchor app or on Patreon, or of course by sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes as well. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds me why I do this. Also, don't miss our merch store, where you can get super cool Java with Jen swag and coffee. Find it at javawithjenmerch.com. Until next time, remember, hearing God's voice is simple, and He wants to be a part of your everyday life. See you next week.